Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to the visitors that are among us. May you feel at home in the presence of God this morning. Maybe one of the children could tell us what tomorrow is. What is tomorrow? Did you know that tomorrow is a holiday on your calendar? What is it? The 4th of July. Okay, thank you. What is the 4th of July? Another name for it, anyone? Independence Day. Independence Day. Tomorrow is July the 4th, 2016, Independence Day. Independence Day has been celebrated in the United States since July the 4th, 1776. That's 240 years ago tomorrow, if I counted right. The founders of the new nation of America considered Independence Day an important occasion for rejoicing. John Adams said, "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival." Further, he said, "It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." So July 4th, 1776 was the day the Declaration of Independence was adopted by our country. It's the birthday of our country, we could say. It was the day our nation declared independence from British rule. A quote from the Declaration of Independence: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." You notice liberty was there. We talked about liberty from the British rule. Patrick Henry said, in connection to liberty from British rule, he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." That's how much he wanted liberty. We're going to talk about spiritual liberty this morning. It's the title of my message, Spiritual Liberty. Before we define spiritual liberty, we'll go just a little further into this pursuit of physical liberty, which we've been talking about, physical liberty. The pursuit of physical liberty is an age-old passion of mankind. How many of you this morning like to be free? How many of you would like to have more liberty than you have? Well, that's an age-old pursuit of physical liberty. The Jews wanted Jesus to free them from Roman rule. They wanted liberty. Onesimus wanted freedom from his master, Philemon. So he ran away from his master. He wanted liberty. The American slaves risked horrible torture and even death just to be free. They wanted liberty. The prodigal son also sought freedom. He took his money and left his father's rules behind. Why? Because he wanted liberty. Today we have jails that are full of people who are longing for liberty. They want freedom. They want liberty. They want physical liberty. Human beings seek after physical liberty. Focusing more directly on spiritual liberty, When we think of the two, spiritual liberty adds a dimension and a perspective to freedom that physical liberty alone cannot give. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. We'll just look at three passages here in the outstart, thinking about what spiritual liberty is. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's a definition for spiritual liberty. It is found where the Spirit of the Lord is, spiritual liberty. One more passage, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 31 to 36. Jesus speaking here to the Jews. It says they were a group of believing Jews, and yet we see them really faltering in what Jesus has to say here. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. A servant is the opposite of liberty. So if you commit sin, you are the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So Jesus is portraying what spiritual bondage is and what spiritual liberty is. Spiritual bondage is simply being in bondage to sin. I commit a sin and it binds me, and I commit another sin and I commit another sin, and I'm in bondage to sin. But then Jesus comes and takes away that sin and gives me freedom. Spiritual liberty is often a paradox. In other words, spiritual liberty often comes where we don't expect it. We find it sometimes in unexpected places, and sometimes where we expect to find it, it isn't there. Paul and Silas were beaten and bound in prison, but they could sing, because they were free. In the book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, Uncle Tom illustrates spiritual liberty, if you've read that book. He was a slave in the South, sold to the South, to a tyrant of a master, mistreated horribly. given the opportunity to escape in his old age, but he didn't take it. Didn't take the opportunity to escape. And even though the story goes on to say that he was beaten to death, we still find that he was free. Spiritual liberty. In your church hymnal, number 458, you can just turn to that if you would. We're talking about spiritual liberty being a paradox, often found in places we don't expect to find it. We think of physical liberty, we sometimes mix that up with spiritual liberty. We're looking at illustrations of people who did not have physical liberty, but who in spite of that had spiritual liberty. In the church hymnal number 458, the song Faith of Our Fathers, the second verse you see reads like this: Our fathers chained in prisons dark, were still in heart and conscience free. So in spite of the fact that our Anabaptist forefathers found themselves chained in dark prisons for years on end, they were still free. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Coming back to the story of the prodigal son, I had mentioned that. I'm just going to read the account again, and I'd like you to think about, there's different ways, different things to think about in this account. But I'd like you to think about what the prodigal son was looking for. And ultimately where he found it. Think about liberty. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. What was this son looking for? Well, I believe he was looking for liberty. I believe he was tired of his father's rules. He was tired of his father's old-fashioned ways. So he said, I'm going to go find it. I'm going to go find it. It's away from here. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. What was he looking for? He was looking for the liberty to eat. He had come to the place that he didn't have enough to eat, and so he hired himself out to someone so that he would have something to eat. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Notice he wanted to be a servant. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. He left home to find liberty. And he discovered that he needed to come back home. He was even willing to come back home and be less than a son. He was ready to be a servant, a bond servant. And in doing that, he found liberty. What a paradox. How could people in such situations as Paul and Silas in prison, and our fathers chained in prisons dark, and the prodigal son, how could they find spiritual liberty in the midst of their lack of physical liberty? Well, in defining spiritual liberty, I'll make this statement. Liberty is not so much related to our circumstances as it is related to our relationship with God. And our relationship with God is something that we can take in any circumstance and find liberty. Going back to John chapter 8 again, the passage we read there, 34 and 36. 34 talks about committing sin. And when you commit sin again and again, you become the servant of sin. But Jesus can break those bands of sin and make us free indeed. Just think about the bondage of sin just briefly. It will help us to understand the liberty, the spiritual liberty of being freed from the bondage of sin if we know what the bondage of sin is. Just some illustrations of that. When a person is bound in sin, regardless what that sin is, he always wants one more. When a person is bound to materialism and the love of money, what does he want? Just one more dollar. When a person is bound to intoxicating drinks and he gets over his hangover, he doesn't enjoy it, but what does he want? He wants one more drink. When a person lives a life of anger and is continually angry at others and angry at life, what does he want? He just wants one more time to get even. He knows it doesn't really bring him happiness, but maybe just once more. One more time. All sins are that way, if you think about it. You keep making the list. If we indulge in sin, we want one more. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess the sin, God not only forgives it, but he cleanses us so that we don't want one more. He gives us liberty. Then we are at liberty. 1 John 3:8 reads like this, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil." The devil is the one who is holding one more before us. But God is the one who wants to destroy the works of the devil so that we don't have the desire for one more sin. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Thinking about spiritual liberty. James 1 and verse 25. I like this phrase in verse 25. You're opening your Bibles to this perfect law of liberty, he calls it. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The perfect law of liberty. The Bible, Jesus Christ dying on the cross to save us from our sins, gives us perfect liberty. 2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians 6, verse 17. These two verses, 17 and 18, don't have the word liberty in them. And yet I see it here. I think you will too if you think about these words. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What better liberty could we have than to be called God's son and God's daughter? So God calls us to separate ourselves from the world, to separate ourselves from sin, and to follow the people of God, and to follow His word. And that will, in that, we will become the sons and daughters of God, and we will find true liberty. Thinking just briefly again, summarizing maybe the physical liberty that we all enjoy so much, and we certainly do. I enjoy. I am so glad that God has blessed me to live in a land of freedom. Many people in the world find themselves elsewhere than in the physical freedom that you and I have. And our country is celebrating that freedom tomorrow. That freedom. I'm afraid that many in the celebration have lost the real, true liberty that you and I can know about today because of Jesus, not because of our country. Although we appreciate the founders of our country for what they are, we realize that that's just physical liberty. We all enjoy physical liberty very much. We as Christians should also endeavor to enjoy spiritual liberty. That's the reward that God has for us as Christian people. Spiritual liberty. For closing passage, you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 21. It's a little story here that talks about slaves. And yet I believe it is a passage that is symbolic of New Testament Christian liberty. Exodus chapter 21, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. And if he came by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or onto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. What would cause a man to choose to be a slave for life? What would cause a man to say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free? Can you picture yourself in such a situation? I believe that the master would have to be kind. I believe the master would have to be endeared to his servant. He would have had to build a relationship of trust. There's no other way that a man that could be turned free would say, I love my master, and I will not go out free. So take me to the doorpost and get your awl out and punch a hole in that ear. And I'll serve you forever. Would someone who chooses to be a slave for life be free? Would that be possible? Since he chose it himself? We say slaves aren't free. But would someone who chooses to be a slave for life be free? Do you love your master, Jesus, so much that you will serve him for life? Will you let Jesus take the awl and mark you for life? Will you lay aside all your wishes and plans in life for the plans of Jesus? Will you say to Jesus, take the awl and mark me for life? I want to serve you forever. If you are willing, it will truly bring you spiritual liberty for the rest of your life. You can keep this spiritual liberty regardless of life's circumstances, regardless if you find yourself in prison, regardless if you find yourself in a land of liberty or in a land of tyranny. Regardless if you find yourself in the face of a machine gun, regardless if you find yourself as a slave or a wealthy American, if John Adams thought that Independence Day ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty, how should you and I commemorate the day of our deliverance from sin? When I was liberated, will I find spiritual liberty as I go through life? Am I willing to say, I'll serve you for life? Shall we kneel for prayer? Thank you.